Will you turn with me in your Bibles, Galatians chapter 2, verses 15 through 21, or you can find this printed in your bulletins. Galatians chapter 2, verses 15 through 21, as we continue our walk together through the book of Galatians. This is the word of God. We ourselves are Jews by birth and no Gentile sinners, yet we know that a person is not justified by works of the law, but through faith in Jesus Christ. So we also have belief in Christ Jesus in order to be justified by faith in Christ and not by works of the law. Because by works of the law, no one will be justified. But if, in an endeavor to be justified in Christ, we too were found to be sinners, is Christ then a servant of sin? Certainly not. For if I rebuild what I turned down, I prove myself to be a transgressor. For through the law I died to the law, so that I might live to God. I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. I do not nullify the grace of God, for if righteousness were through the law, then Christ died for no purpose. Let us pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank you that salvation is by grace and is through faith, and it does not depend on us, but on the work that our Lord Jesus Christ did on the cross and our union with him. We thank you that as we read this word together, we understand that we can have understanding of this because spiritual things are revealed to us through the power of the Holy Spirit. We pray, Lord, that you will help us as we look at these verses to magnify your grace, to glorify your name, to praise your name for what you have done, that as we live today, after hearing your word and after partaking together of the Lord's Supper, we will be able to live with a renewed understanding and renewed desire to glorify you for what you have done. We pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Last week, we were looking at these verses, verses 11 through 14, that tells us, Paul tells the Galatians and tells us about this remarkable moment when Paul had to confront Peter to his face because he stood condemned. And it is important that we acknowledge or we recognize that these verses were significant, or what Paul did was significant, because he was standing for the truth of the gospel. That was what Paul was doing. He was standing for the truth of the gospel. He was preserving the truth of the gospel for even for us today. And we are continuing looking at what Paul continued to say to the Galatians about justification by faith alone in these verses today. But if we remember what happened last week, I think it is important that we look at these things. Remember that Peter had this new understanding that Gentiles were incorporated into the body of Christ, into the church of God, only based on the work of the Holy Spirit in their hearts and their faith in Christ Jesus. And he got to understand that because God himself revealed that to him through a revelation and an encounter that he had with Cornelius. And then he gets to Antioch, where he meets Gentiles who were Christians, or some of them that heard the gospel directly from him and became Christians. And he started to have fellowship with them, something that he didn't used to do in the past because they were Gentiles and they were uncircumcised. But now he was enjoying this beautiful fellowship with the body of Christ, with Gentiles, believers, because he had this understanding that we are all accepted before God on the basis of Christ's work and not on our own works. But as he was there, some men came from Jerusalem, Judaizers, and he was afraid what they could say or do against him because he was sharing with Gentiles who were not circumcised. For that reason, he separated himself from them. He decided not to continue to have fellowship with them anymore. And beside that, some Jews and even Barnabas followed Peter's example, separating themselves from the Jews, their brothers and sisters. Remember how significant was this, that Peter was setting an example for his fellow Jew Christians, but also he was letting the Gentiles know that they were not welcome into fellowship with him just because they were not circumcised. But all this was a result of Peter's fear of the Judaizers. Then Paul again had the need of confronting Peter to his face in order to preserve the truth of the gospel. And as Paul continues in these verses, he continued to expand in this understanding of the doctrine of justification. And there are five things, five affirmations, five statements that you can get from these verses about the doctrines of justification. The first one is that justification is by faith and not by works. Justification is by faith and not by works. We ourselves are Jews by birth and not Gentile sinners, yet we know that a person is not justified by works of the law, but through faith in Jesus Christ. Through faith in Jesus Christ. So Peter was teaching two kind of messages to the Gentiles believers there. One was with his mouth when he proclaimed that we are accepted by God on the basis of Christ's righteousness imputed to us. That was the theological message that Peter communicated to the Gentiles in Antioch. But Peter was also communicating a different message with his actions when he separated himself from them. I remember one time, something that I have never forgot, even until today, a little incident that happened one Sunday when I was walking, coming to church. I was actually serving in the platform with one of my fellow pastors here, and I went to pick him up at his house, and for some reason we were running late to church, and then we parked around Pine in between 18 and 19, and we start to walk fast our way to the church, and we got to the corner of 17 and Pine, and there was a family of the church, a father with two or three kids there waiting for the red light to change into green so they could cross the street. There were no cars around. We could see like four or five blocks down, and you could not see any car. And, well, my brother and I started to cross the street. My brother, who walked fast, and he was on the other side already, and I was in the middle of the street when I heard the father behind us smiling, saying, "Do what they say, but don't do what they do. Do what they say, but don't do what they do." What I did immediately was I turned back, and I walked back, and I waited with them until the light turned green. And then after it turned green, I ran to come to church. But this is something that I have never forgotten. And I actually thank God that I had that opportunity to be taught by one of my brothers here in the church. How important it is that we preach with our words, but also with our actions. And that was actually Peter's issue here in Antioch. Paul says in verse 16, we know that a person is not justified by works of the law, but through faith in Jesus Christ. I think that when Paul is saying we know, he's also saying to Peter, we know, Peter, you and I know this. This is true. We know this. We understand this. I understand this because I was intercepted, Paul will say, by our Lord Jesus Christ, who sent me to preach the gospel to Gentiles. But you know also that because God himself intercepted you and changed your mind, teaching you that the only way that you can stand, justify God before God, is through the work of our Lord Jesus Christ on the cross. I think that one thing that, or the starting point of any person to understand this doctrine, is the fact that you have to accept and understand that there is a God, and that God is creator of everything that exists, and that we are accountable to this God, and that he is holy and we are not. And the most important question that anybody can ask in the world, you, yourself, and us, and everybody, is how can I stand right before God? How can I stand in a way before God that I could be accepted by Him? And certainly we all know that it is not based on our works. It is not based on who we are or what we are, because we are sinners. The only way is through the works of Jesus Christ that are counted as our works through faith in Him. He says, and we also have belief in Christ Jesus in order to be justified by faith in Christ and not by works of the law. One important thing that you have to see here is that when Paul is saying that we are Jews by birth and not Gentile sinners, he's not saying that Jews were not sinners and Gentiles were sinners. But this is how a Judaizer will see a Gentile who is a sinner, and a Judaizer will see himself as a no sinner because he is under the law of God. But I think that Paul helped us to understand the reality of the Jew and the Gentile in Romans chapter 9, verses 30 through 32. He says, what shall we say then? That Gentiles who did not pursue righteousness have obtained it, that is a righteousness that is by faith, but that Israel who pursued a law that would lead to righteousness did not succeed in reaching that law. Why? Because they did not pursue it by faith, but as if it were based on works. So the problem was not with the law. The problem was with thinking that through the law you could be saved or you could be righteous before God. Because certainly what you read here at the final part of verse 16 is without doubt a truth, which is by works of the law no one will be justified. The only way you could be justified by works of the law is that you will be able to keep the law perfectly, because God is perfect, He is holy, and He requires perfection. Why Gentiles were able to obtain that righteousness is because they put their faith in Christ, who is righteous, and His righteousness was counted as their righteousness. Therefore, the first affirmation that you can read from these verses is that justification is by faith and not by works. The second one is that justification by faith alone is not an excuse to live a life of sin. One thing that we all need to work out when we read Paul's letters is that many times Paul is answering a question or is addressing an issue without telling us what is the question that he's answering. He's not telling us, here is what people are asking around, or these are the doubts that people have around, or this is how they are challenging the doctrine of justification, and here is the answer. He will go directly to tell the recipients of the letter what is the answer to the question. And that's the case of verse 17. It says like this, but if in our endeavor to be justified in Christ, we too were found to be sinners, is Christ then a servant of sin? Certainly no. Meganoito, certainly no. What we have here is that Paul is addressing the challenge of the Judaizers who were saying, Paul, wait a minute, if you are teaching people that they can be justified just on the basis of Christ's righteousness and they don't depend on their own good works before God, what you are doing is actually encouraging people to live life in sin. What will be their motivation to try to do good before God? This is why he says, in an endeavor to be justified in Christ, we were found to be sinners. Is Christ a servant of sin? Is Christ encouraging people to sin by justifying them through his righteousness on the cross, by giving them his righteousness so they could be counted as righteous before God? The answer of Paul is meganoito, certainly not. No, that is not the case. And we'll see the answer why this is not the case in our third point, which is verses 17 through verses 19 through 20. But before that, There is another statement that we can learn from these verses, and this is that returning to trust in the law for justification only make us transgressors of the law. And here is again where most likely Paul is saying to the Galatians something that he shared with Peter. He says, "For if I reveal what I tore down," verse 18, "I prove myself to be a transgressor." Remember, one of the things that Peter did was that he went to Antioch, he shared with Gentiles, and basically by doing that, he was turning down that law that separated Gentiles from Jews and separated Gentiles from God because they were not circumcised. And by Peter separating himself from them, he was basically rebuilding this wall that separated him from those who were Gentiles and separated them from God. What Paul is saying here is that if I do that, what I do is at the end is that I make myself a transgressor. In other words, what Paul is saying, if you try to go back to depend on the works of the law for your justification, you are right away disqualified. Why? There is a simple answer. It's what Paul said at the end of verse 16. By works of the law, no one will be justified. It is something like this. Peter understands that the only way he can stand righteous before God is through Christ's righteousness. That is what the Jews didn't obtain because they didn't pursue it through faith. Now he understands that he depends on Christ to be right before God. But if you go back again to say, I will rely on the works, I will rely on my works, I will rely on the law in order to stand right before God, basically what he will end doing is disqualifying himself. So in verse 18, what Paul is addressing is Peter's behavior. Remember that it wasn't that Peter changed his mind in this doctrine. It wasn't that Peter now realized, no, maybe I should be justified also counting my own circumcision and the circumcision of others and the law of God. It is that he was acting hypocritically. What he was doing was he was acting out of fear, even though in his heart he understood that the only standing right before God that he had depended on Christ. Then fourth answer or expands what Paul says in verse 17 when he says, certainly not. Remember, if in an endeavor to be justified in Christ, we were to be found sinners, is Christ then a servant of sin? Is then Christ saying that you can live as you want? Is he promoting life or sinful lives? Certainly not. Why? It is because justification by faith, and this is the fourth point, is more than a declaration of a change of status, but it is also receiving new life in Christ through our union with Christ. I know that sounds like a long subtitle or point, but I'm going to read it again. Justification by faith is more than a declaration of a change of status, but it's also receiving new life in Christ through our union with Christ. Look what he says in verse 19. He says, "For through the law I die to the law, so that I may live to God. Through the law I die to the law, so I may live to God." How do we understand this? We understand this when we read verse 20, when he says, "I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me." Basically, what Paul is talking about here is our union with Christ. When he says, "I have been crucified with Christ," this means that when I put my faith in Christ, I was on the cross with Christ when he was crucified. I was crucified there. This is why through the law, I died to the law. Because Christ died on the cross through the law. He was dying on the cross, paying the penalty that we deserve to pay because of the law. But in our union with Christ, we die with Christ on the cross. And therefore, it is no longer I who live by Christ, but Christ who lives in me. Also, when we think about our union with Christ, we We think about our death with Christ on the cross, but also our resurrection with Christ in his resurrection. Therefore, as we die with Christ on the cross, we were raised with Christ in his resurrection. And it is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. It is expanded or explained what he says afterwards when he says, "And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me." He says, my life right now, the way I live, is the result of my union with Christ. Now let's go back to the argument. In our endeavor to be justified in Christ, we were found to be sinners in Christ. Then Christ, is Christ then a servant of sin? Remember, is Paul, are you saying that if you trust in Christ for salvation, now you are free to live however you want or to live a sinful life? Well, the answer is that no, certainly no. And the reason is because when we were justified with Christ, in our union with Christ, we also were renewed. We receive a new life in Christ. And it's therefore Christ who lives in us, who moves us to live a life that honors God the Father. So our justification is not just a statement that we have been declared justified before God, but in our justification, in our union with Christ, we have received a new life in Christ that empower us, that enable us to live a life that honors God. This is why Paul will challenge us throughout his letters, live a life worthy of the gospel of God. The reason why he is challenging us to live a life worthy of the gospel of God is because he knows that a Christian is a new creature. A Christian is somebody who has been crucified with Christ. A Christian is somebody who Christ lives in him and not in himself. And the last argument is that justification could be obtained, if justification could be obtained by law keeping, Christ died for no purpose. Look what Paul says in verse 21. I do not nullify the grace of God, for if righteousness were through the law, then Christ died for no purpose. If there was a way that any of us could be justified, could be saved based on our own works, then Christ died for no purpose. Because the very reason why Christ died on the cross is because no one can be justified based on his own works. Because by works of the law, no one will be justified. So the Judaizers who pretended to be professed believers, that they confessed that they believe in Jesus, and they were adding circumcision and the works of the law to salvation, were denying the whole death on the cross. If Christ died on the cross and we could have been saved by our own works, Christ died for no purpose. And it is not even that you could add your own works to the work of Christ, because if you need to add your own works to the work of Christ on the cross, Christ's work on the cross was not sufficient. So all we need is to put our faith in Christ Jesus. So remember, brothers and sisters, what Paul is doing when he writes to the Galatians is that he is standing for the truth of the gospel. You will see that all these arguments that the Judaizers had against justification by faith in Christ or the gospel, these are all arguments, but these are arguments that have gone through the history of the church until today. I still remember one time when I was in seminary, when I was sharing with a brother about the doctrine of justification by faith and predestination and how God have chosen us before the foundation of the world. And he was scandalized, just thinking, well, so if this is what you believe, then you can live now however you want. And most of the people that I shared the gospel with back in Colombia who have this understanding, they will have the same argument that Paul is responding here to the Judaizers. But at the end of the day, brothers and sisters, when we look at the fact that by works of the law no one will be justified, and that we are justified through the work of Jesus on the cross, this should point us to give God glory. At the end of the day, we know that it is not based on what we can do, but it is based on God's mercy and love and compassion for us. And when we gather together to worship God because what he has done for us, that he gave his only son to die on the cross so we could be saved. Now, if you are here or if you are there on the web and you haven't put your faith in Jesus, I really encourage you to think about this promise that you have in Christ as well. That if you trust in Jesus for salvation, if you put your faith in Christ, he will make you right before God based on his righteousness. Let us pray together and prepare our hearts for partaking together of the Lord's Supper. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your love, compassion, for your patience with us who are sinners. We thank you that we have the blessing and the privilege of being counted as your sons and daughters, not on the basis of how good we are, but on the basis of your grace, your mercy, and Christ's righteousness. We thank you for all these spiritual blessings that are ours in Christ. We also pray for those that still don't know you. We pray, Lord, that they will come to the understanding of the gospel. We pray that you send the Holy Spirit to them and they will believe and trust in you for salvation as well. May you prepare also our hearts as we partake together of the Lord's Supper. We pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.